WZEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth of the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore warned that China could be an imminent threat.
President Trump and the American people have an immense respect for the Chinese people and their civilization. But we will not be pushed out of this critical region. And we will not let our allies and partners be subordinated and intimidated.
Friday, President Trump announced that tariffs on steel and aluminum imports will double on June 4th to 50%. The Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to continue moving forward with its plans to roll back the legal status for about 500,000 immigrants that was granted during the Biden administration. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the former Democratic vice presidential nominee, told a Democratic group today in South Carolina the party's lost its way, including a big chunk of the working class. And air quality in the upper Midwest could be impacted today from wildfire smoke. This is ABC News. NBA star Zion Williamson's facing allegations of sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse during a years-long relationship with a woman who's filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles. ABC's Melissa Adon has more.
The civil complaint details two alleged incidents of rape taking place in 2020 in Beverly Hills, as well as accusations of strangulation, death threats to the plaintiff and her family, as well as physical abuse. Now, Williamson's attorney denies the allegations, calling the claims categorically false and reckless, adding that it appears to be an extortion attempt, which he says was reported to law enforcement.
A spokesperson for Williams' NBA team, the New Orleans Pelicans, deferred comment to Williamson's attorneys. An overturned truck near the Canadian border in Washington state led to the escape of about 250 million honeybees. Nobody was hurt. The bees are being allowed to rehive and find their queen. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The House budget bill would reform environmental permitting in Wisconsin and nationwide, potentially streamlining the process and reducing litigation. Here's Brent Pivido.
Under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, large projects with the potential to affect the environment must complete environmental assessments or impact statements. This includes all federal agencies and impacts private development projects that need federal permits. The new provision would create an expedited review process for a fee of 25% on top of the usual cost of a NEPA review. Thomas Hockman with the Foundation for American Innovation says the new rule would also shield projects from NEPA-related litigation.
There are quotes from folks like outgoing EPA General Counsel, who say 90% of the details in a NEPA review are purely there for litigation proofing the document. You can imagine if you only need 10% of the details in that environmental impact statement because you know that you are not at risk of litigation, that is almost certainly a radically faster timeline.
In court, federal agencies have an 80% success rate on appeal, and their environmental reviews are not often changed through litigation. One study of NEPA reviews shows solar energy projects face the highest litigation rate. Frequent litigation was also seen with pipelines, transmission lines, turbines and wind energy projects. Despite shortening the process, Hockman says the reforms may also make projects subject to shifting political agendas.
If you let each administration determine what the cost is and also spend time determining what the cost should be, you could potentially see differences in treatment. So, you know, maybe a Republican administration drags their feet and puts out a really high cost for a wind project that's going through an environmental impact statement. Maybe a Democratic administration does the same for a pipeline that's going through an environmental impact statement.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Brett Pivito. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. Plenty of sunshine for today. Highs in the lower 70s. You may notice some smoke from those Canadian wildfires, especially in the morning. Partly cloudy tonight, low of 42. Warmer on Sunday with highs near 80. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by senior ranking member of the state's Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Jackson, to talk about the Republicans' cuts that will affect you and yours.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wisconsin, this is Raised in Wisco Across the Pond Edition. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman and Chef Ellie Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco. Today's show, this show is going to go so fast. Show is about our trip. Everybody, we've got six people in this room, in the studio, in the fishbowl.
It's a party over here. Just off the boat.
Just off the boat. Thankfully, our airplanes were not boats. They did not end up in the pond. We just returned from Scotland and Ireland, and we are going to have our weekly Wiscos be of our trip, and we're going to do the whole trip. We're going to talk about our hunts. We're going to talk about
our food. I'm so excited for this one.
Food. And, you know, I don't know how this has happened. I think we have to thank Chef Lawton for kind of starting it out.
Whoa, he's starting off by saying something nice to me? Oh, my goodness.
Right,
what day is it?
I'm
going to write this down, guys,
right,
and now get the book out.
Calendar.
The book is very empty, so this is exciting.
Fresh. It has a little dust on it. Hold on.
I appreciate this part, but in the same sense, I have gained about 10 pounds in the last 3 months because now we eat before each show just about.
You're only 10 pounds?
Listen. I'm maxing out non-structural jeans right now.
Hey, listen.
I'm no longer made for 100% cotton.
Oh, my gosh. We had a Scottish and Irish dinner before the show today that was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre for me.
Danielle had some curse tonight.
Your guys' palate is not my palate.
Well, thank God. Everybody. Variety is the spice of life.
Your palate's getting there, though.
It is. I tried
you try everything,
today,
which is awesome.
That liver sausage was fantastic.
Well, I tried
fantastic.
That.
And I have to say right off the bat, I think Scotch, the Scottish people Irish people.
We know that.
We know, Danielle. You like Scotch. We'll whisk you back to that later.
Mark that down.
So I think the Scottish and the Irish get a bad rap for their food because I cannot believe how delicious the food was.
It was fantastic.
What was the favorite?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
I want to introduce our guests. We have a massive panel of guests today. Megan Salazar is here, and she went along on the trip. Mary Jane Boehm, Jessica Thielen, and Steve Strait. And we had such an incredible time. And they're all here in the fishbowl, as you can see, if you're watching on Facebook Live. And we just literally within the last 24 hours got back from Scotland, Ireland.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that show. We may even drag it into another week. We'll see. Or do a show in the future about it, because I want to talk first about the culture shock. You've got folks who went, and some of us have been to Europe a few times. Some of us have never been to Europe. And Chef Lawton, as somebody who is a student of culinary and a student of food here in the United States, this was your first time leaving the United States and actually going to Europe.
Yeah, it certainly was. That's my weekly Wisco, if that's what we're getting into.
Well, sure. Let's hear it. Bring it on.
Well, actually, my weekly Wisco is riding horses in Ireland.
Ooh, that's the number one that comes out.
I don't know how you top. I don't know how
Wasn't
you top
it raining
that.
When you guys were horseback riding,
it
too?
It certainly was, and it was so beautiful.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, and honestly, it's so hard to pick one thing. We had a fantastic trip every single day. It was a new adventure. Hike several miles. We'll get into all of it. But that was my weekly Wisco.
We'll try to get into it. Megan Salazar, you had a great time, obviously, when you were riding the horses out there. What was a culture shock to you? Now, you had actually been to Scotland before. Had you been to Ireland?
Yeah, I've been to Scotland and Ireland. So, I did that same trip 5 years ago.
What did you see as the biggest difference from the United States in Scotland and Ireland?
Oh, boy. Everything's laid back, not necessarily Scotland, but Ireland is. I feel like the people are much more relaxed. Like, there's not a lot of waste in the country. I see when we come back to the United States, like how much we waste food, how much we waste portions using grocery bags, just those tiny little
general
things.
General products.
Yeah, I think. And now Mary Jane, who I know because she works at the Capitol in Madison. She works for a state representative, Clint Moses. And I used to be a state representative. So that's kind of how we met. And you're kind of an adventurer. You went and hunted a place in France that I had hunted earlier. And you were game to go along on this trip as well. But you had never been to Scotland or Ireland.
I've been to Ireland, but not Scotland.
Okay, but you hadn't been to Scotland. What was your take on kind of the culture and the people who were there comparative to the United States?
The first thing was the driving.
Why?
I just said, we're going to need some time to talk about that.
PTSD.
We're gonna need to talk about that.
I was the MVP for like organizing the trip, but also the MVP for driving us to the castle the first day. I was here for myself. But like,
let me say,
wrong side of the road,
wrong side of the car.
Steve.
Oh yeah,
Steve. I don't know why, but I found Steve to be a very calming soul for me when I was driving. Let me paint this picture for you folks who've never envisioned it. We land in Scotland and go to the rental car counter, and I rent essentially a giant minivan.
It's a passenger van.
A passenger van.
Oh, nice. You go
big. That fit all six of us and all 17,000 pieces of luggage in the back. And we leave, and now picture this. You're driving on the opposite side of the car. In the United States, we sit on the left side of the car. In Scotland, they sit on the right side of the car, and then you drive on the left side of the road. And within 30 seconds of leaving the parking lot, first of all, the van, the air conditioning doesn't work. There's bangs and gashes all around it. And
clearly, Americans had driven their vans several times.
I am 100% convinced they're like,
this one.
Get out the van for the Americans. We're going to ruin it all. It's going to be ruined.
That's exactly it.
So I start driving down the road, and the first thing I encounter is a roundabout. Roundabouts.
Oh, no.
They were all over the place.
Roundabouts are hard enough in the United States. And you go the opposite direction on a roundabout. So I'm in this roundabout on the other side trying to merge.
What time of day is this?
It was daylight.
Yeah, it was afternoon.
Of the day, afternoon. And then you get onto what we would call a highway.
Oh, no.
Like a county highway.
The lanes are about
2/3 the size of a United States highway lane. And I have no sense as to where the left side of the truck is.
I was a spotter. You had a spotter.
I had a spotter.
You had a spotter. It
so
was me.
Ellie, Chef Lawton.
Uh-oh.
Her job was to shout out.
Curb.
Curb.
And guess how many times I shouted out, Danielle?
Zero.
About every 6 seconds. I was like, oh my God, Joel, curb, curb. And everyone else is just laughing. And now, Joel's like, oh my God, stop yelling. Oh my God, but keep yelling. I don't know.
No offense. No offense. She probably wasn't the best person in the car for the job because
I should have been behind the wheel because I'm a terrible passenger.
Because she yes. kept getting curb. Now, there were about 24 times I actually hit the curb.
Yeah,
going
to,
about
be,
50
to be
miles
fair, yeah, the car had a fume car. Scratches.
What's a white line on the tire?
We were, I
Days
think,
of Thunder.
Steve, how were you so calm during through this? Because I was, my knuckles were so white. They were whiter.
I could see that there's an imprint on the steering wheel.
And Steve's calmly in the back. I think you're doing great, Joel.
Oh,
meanwhile, Ellie,
positive reinforcement.
Meanwhile, Ellie is yelling,
now, why did you record this?
Okay, but to be fair, the first time you connected with the curb.
First time
I grazed
connected.
The curb.
No, definitely did not.
I grazed
Let's not
the curb.
Fool anybody here. The folks from the rental place are not listening, okay?
Okay, listen, just a second.
So he hits, Danielle, you're listening. He hits the curb for the first time. It basically shoots us into the other lane. So after that, I'm like every cars. Time he touches the curb, we're going to go head on into the other lane. These lanes are 3 feet wide.
These lanes, I'm not joking, had what, Steve, 6 inches on each side of the car?
There was a thimble of room on each side.
The mirror was
a thimble of room.
Riding the line.
The mirror yeah. was riding the line, and I had no sense of the left side. So I was favoring the left side and kept hitting the curb on the left side.
Even when I'd yell out curb, he'd still hit the curb.
Then,
oh yeah, what's
semis
this?
Are coming toward you around corners.
Not decelerating.
And because you're used to driving on the right side of the road, you feel like when you see them that they are in your lane.
Yeah.
That was by far.
I'm sweating just thinking about it.
I'm sweating right now. That was the most stressful thing. Mary Jane.
How long was this ride?
I mean,
too long. It was like 2.5 minutes.
Jessica, you and Steve were both kind of like the voice of reason in the car during that time. What did you think while we were going through that? Did you guys have the same feeling as I had that when the car was coming in the other lane, that it was in our lane? That was like the instinctive reaction.
I mean, I guess I'd rather hit the curb than the other car.
That is a fact.
Here's what I think Jess and Steve were thinking. Boy, we should have been the drivers. Those two idiots in the front are not doing well.
I did get really good
video. Yes,
she did.
I
need to watch this.
Oh, I haven't seen that video yet. We have a ton of pictures. I cannot wait to see that video. The show's going to go so fast. Megan, what was your weekly Wisco in Scotland and Ireland?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I can pick one. I mean, like riding, yes.
Oh, Megan, come on.
I jumped again, so horseback riding's my thing, and that was amazing. I mean, I even got offered a job, so that was cool.
Yeah,
oh,
you could have stayed.
Mary Jane, what was your weekly Wisco? What was your favorite quick hit of it?
Hunting the goats on the island.
Oh, fantastic. It was fantastic. Jess?
Honestly, even though it was a hunting trip, I'd have to say it, learning about all the different culture and history of the... I'm going to say McMullen.
Duntroon Castle. Malcolm's family. And Duntroon Castle and Lochoped.
Yes.
Yes. Steve, real quick.
Yeah, kind of along those lines, I'd say the fact that everyone that we interacted with, the history that they knew about their lineage and were able to explain everywhere we were at, it was nice to, we asked a million questions like you're a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And being able to explain it right away and
That's
tell
nice.
The history behind it was very impressive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say my weekly Wisco, as it almost always is in foreign
food.
Countries. You'd think I'd say food.
But yes, I would.
The people.
Oh.
I had such a wonderful time.
That's
Our
nice.
Guides in Ireland, James and David and Andy in Scotland. I mean, the time I had, we were hunting an island off the Emerald Island.
Oh.
And had just come out of the Scottish Highlands 3 days before. to be able to experience that and to soak in the culture and to have them get a kick out of us and us to get a kick out of them. I cannot wait. You're not going to believe the things we ate. I'm going to talk about how people talk differently and the different words that they use, which is really fun to me also. We had such a fantastic time, this crew, in Scotland and Ireland, and we're bringing it to you on Raised in Wisco. That's right. Raised in Wisco!
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 2nd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And this week, we're going outside of Wisconsin, taking it completely outside of the box. We got a crew in the fishbowl, including Chef Ellie Lawton.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Mary Jane Baim. There's so many people. Megan Salazar.
We need name tags.
Jessica Peel and Steve Strait. And, of course, the forever friend of mine, Danielle Fairman, who runs this ship as the co-captain. We went to Scotland and Ireland last week, and we just got off the plane. I think we're all a little punchy and jet-lagged at this stage of the game,
which
is just fine.
Just punchy.
But first off, Danielle, tell everybody where they can listen to the show.
You can listen to the show, see us live on Facebook in our bright and shiny faces. You can listen to us on Apple and Spotify, but best yet, you can listen to us anywhere in the car that you go because we travel with you, which is very exciting. So you can go to Scotland too.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And you can hear us Saturdays at 11 o'clock on every Civic Media station. We were talking about driving in Scotland when I rented the van and just about, I hope I didn't just about kill us, but God, it felt like I could.
We had
every
major curb appeal.
Moments.
Oh, jeez. Really?
That is a great way to say it. I never asked because I was so glad that we just got, we had to drive about 2 hours, and I was so glad when we finally got there. And I want to know, guys, what was going through your mind as we were driving and we were hitting the curb at 60 miles an hour and trucks were coming the other direction? Let me know what you were thinking during that moment, because I never asked at the time because I was afraid to
probably
know
the a good
answer.
Thing you did not ask.
I hope we don't get a flat tire. That would have been brutal on those one lane roads.
Oh gosh, yeah,
the one lane roads. Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. Just crazy. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that we, when we got there, right off the bat, there was bagpipe playing.
Mm-hmm. Was there?
We went to Duntroon Castle, which was built in the 1100s, and we stayed in the servants' quarters of Duntroon Castle, built in the 1100s, and ate real Scottish food while we were there. We're going to talk quite a bit about the food. But first off, Danielle.
Joel.
What was your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco, it was wrapping up the turkey season for me.
Ooh, Danielle.
Did you get one?
I did not. Unfortunately, but I did deliver pies to the farmers saying thank you. So sealed the deal for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic? That was one of the things that I noticed in Scotland and Ireland, was that it's very farmer oriented. It felt very much like Wisconsin with as far as having, you know, the fields, except instead of cows, and I did see cows there, you saw a lot more sheep.
Yeah, a lot of sheep.
Which is kind of what you think of probably when you think of Scotland and Ireland. Megan, what was something that really stuck out to you as something that was different, or when we got to the place we were going to stay and Andy was hosting us?
I think just the food that we had, like I was surprised that we were actually having home cooked meals every single day. Like I was fully prepared to be going out to restaurants every single day on the trip. So
well, that's a pleasant surprise then.
It was wonderful. And we were actually pretty far off the beaten path, so we didn't really have any restaurant options. So we were very blessed that our host cooked beautiful meals for us.
Yeah. And we were only about 10 minutes or so from the town of Logelpede, and and there were one or two places.
And we found the best one.
As long as you ate before 4 p.m., there were places.
Before 4 p.m.?
10 a.m. and before 4 p.m.
Yeah, so but not from 12 to 2.
Right.
Right. No, they open at 10. They close at noon. They open back maybe at 2 or 3, and then they're open till 4.
Danielle, even the coffee shops, they don't open until about 10 a.m.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought that was very interesting to me, the time. And I think that goes back to what Megan was talking about when she said that there's a very laid back attitude in Europe. I think there's a difference. Often in America, we live to work. And over there, it's very clear that they work to live. And they have much more emphasis on mealtime. Mealtimes are very much longer. Mary Jane, did you feel that you noticed that there was a much more laid-back attitude there compared to here?
Yeah, 100%. Dinner time was like a two-hour event. They were never pushing us out of the restaurant. A couple of times we went out to eat. We were asking for the bill.
You have to ask for
you
the
have
bill.
To. And you have to like look for the waitress or waiter. Be like, where are they? Where are you? Because they let you just hang out, and there's no push to push you out. After your meal, they just want you to hang out, have community, talk to other people, talk to people on your table. There's no push for the next people to take your table and serve more people.
Your favorite thing you ate in Scotland?
The sausage. Oh, Scotland?
Yes.
The smoked trout.
The smoked trout?
That was impressive. Jessica, what was your favorite thing from Scotland that you ate?
Absolutely, the smoked trout.
Yeah,
it was phenomenal.
Steve, did you have a favorite from Scotland?
That was great, but the lamb shank was at the first place we stopped at.
That was wonderful.
I'm gonna go with lamb shank. I'm gonna finish with the classically trained French chef. What was your favorite thing in Scotland?
I really liked the venison that we had with the cabbage, the steamed cabbage.
I did love that too.
That was very delicious.
And I'm not going to lie, even their snacks and their cookies and their prepackaged things taste very different. They have very few allowed preservatives in their food. And I was really particular to the Jammy Dodgers.
I ate four cans of Pringles.
Jammy Dodgers?
They have Pringles there. They tasted different. They had these little shortbread cookies called Jammy Dodgers.
They were wonderful. Ooh.
We're going to get into Ireland, the hunt there, and the food there as well. Plus, we're going to have our cooking segment, which we always do. And it was awesome. I had such a great time with all you folks, and you're having a great time with us, and we love having you along on Raised in Wisco.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth of the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore warned that China could be an imminent threat.
President Trump and the American people have an immense respect for the Chinese people and their civilization. But we will not be pushed out of this critical region. And we will not let our allies and partners be subordinated and intimidated.
Friday, President Trump announced that tariffs on steel and aluminum imports will double on June 4th to 50%. The Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to continue moving forward with its plans to roll back the legal status for about 500,000 immigrants that was granted during the Biden administration. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the former Democratic vice presidential nominee, told a Democratic group today in South Carolina the party's lost its way, including a big chunk of the working class. And air quality in the upper Midwest could be impacted today from wildfire smoke. This is ABC News.
The Brewers in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Brewers and the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. The Brewers won last night 6-2. Top of the 5th, Christian Yelich at the plate against Phillies reliever Tanner Banks, who had just come into the game on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich at the plate, infield back, first pitch swinging, fly ball to left, sends Kepler back at the wall and gone! First pitch into the ball game and it leaves to stage left. Yelich, his 11th home run of the season, and the Brewers have hung a 5-spot on the Phillies.
And not wasting any time. First pitch.
Yelich with 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in. The Brewers stealing 5 bases. They lead the National League in stolen bases. Manager Pat Murphy.
That is a factor, and you know we have to be that type of team. And I don't know that it was the factor tonight as much as it was the threat of the steal. But I'll take Yelich's 2 homers over the steals.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Major Margaret Houlihan, also known as actress Loretta Swit, has passed away. Swift played the character, also known as Hot Lips, for the entire 11-year run of MASH. According to Deadline, she was nominated for an Emmy Award every year and won twice in 1980 and 1982. Swit passed away at her New York home from natural causes last Friday at the age of 87. Hot Lips and Frank, together again. More troubling news regarding Kevin Costner's too-long-to-say movie title and ridiculously long movie, also known as Horizon, An American Saga, Parts 1 and 2. Good grief. Last week, Costner was accused by a stunt person of sexual harassment, and now the production is being accused of not paying its costume fees. The United Costume Corporation is seeking $350,000 for unpaid fees, according to Variety. Just a word to the wise, to the Yellowstone star, those costumes may come in handy if creditors come knocking. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking weekend as we transition into the month of June. Plenty of sunshine for today. Highs in the lower 70s. You may notice some smoke from those Canadian wildfires, especially in the morning. Partly cloudy tonight, low of 42. Warmer on Sunday with highs near 80. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, America's credit has been downgraded. What does that mean for Wisconsinites? Hour number two, we go beyond the cheese. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Raised in Wisco, Scotland and Ireland edition. I am your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside with Danielle Fairman.
Hello,
my
Joel
longtime
Clayfish.
Hunting buddy, co-host of television, Oop. Radio, newspaper, magazine, internet,
all
Instagram,
the above.
Facebook, MySpace,
Breathe.
Your space, our space, their
we
space,
all space,
space,
space, space, space.
Well, Danielle, can you reel him in?
I apologize.
And I'm there too.
You don't know yet. I get carried away. I get a little carried away. You know, I'm having such a great time. We've got the entire crew here who went to Scotland and Ireland. Steve Strait, Jessica Thielen, Mary Jane Bame, Megan Salazar, and Chef Ellie Lawton was along with us. And I think, and we've been talking about our experiences in Scotland so far. We're going to talk more about Ireland now. But what I noticed is this show so far has been taken up with talking about the culture and the food. And it was a hunting trip. I would be very remiss if we did not talk about the hunting, because we hunted our A's off. We hunted hard.
And our B's.
And our butts. Yes. We hunted hard. And for those of you who think you're going to escape dealing with ticks if you leave Wisconsin, you are wrong.
Oh no.
Scotland was ticky.
Did you bring the Scottish ticks?
I collected all of them on my pants.
Did
several times. I had a tick farm.
Tick farm. Aww.
I want to talk about, I mean, we had six hunters and we hunted hard. We all hunted and hiked at least 5 miles a day, probably.
A day.
Oh, minimum.
Minimum 5 miles a day in the
Scottish. How was the terrain?
Scottish.
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Highlands.
Blew the gun.
The terrain was tough.
Yeah.
Steve, what did you think? I mean, Steve, you're a pretty fit dude. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I could still take you, I'm sure, but.
Undoubtedly.
Arm wrestle.
What did you think of the hunting and the conditions and the difficulty of the hunts there?
Yeah, I enjoyed the topography. I mean, like some high elevation changes, there's bogs. The type of hunting, scouting with the different guides was unique, using scopes, looking on highlands, walking through fields. It was, you know, all over the place. Usually in Wisconsin, you're sitting in a stand, maybe do a drive. So the way that we were going about it, shooting off of sticks, definitely unique experience.
And if you think that when you go and you hire a guide, and we were hunting roe deer in Scotland, and you think it's just going to be easy peasy, let me tell you, only two of our six got roe deer while we were
can
there.
You describe roe deer?
A roe deer is a miniature deer about the size of a large dog. Hmm. Actually, size of a medium-sized dog, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even a large dog is bigger. And a real giant trophy's got six horns on their antlers. So 6 points on their antlers. And they're little teeny miniature little basket racks.
Are they?
And they go straight up. I mean, they're the cutest little things.
Yeah, they're cute.
They are a really cute little thing. And I have to say, I hunted and hunted and hunted and only ever saw one roebuck, a buck. And the one I saw, oh, Mary Jane, I got to talk about our hunt.
Oh, yes, Mary please Jane, do talk. Why are you saying, oh, no, Mary Jane? Where do you think he's going to take this?
Because Joel did not wreck the hunt.
Oh. We didn't call Andy to verify
Andy was mad because...
Andy was the guide. So, yeah, so let guide. Me set this up. Andy took us out, and we were on basically on the edge of one of the highlands, looking down over kind of a valley, and there were some does and some red stag, which were out of season. We were
30-plus red stag jumping over a fence. Couple hundred meters away.
Yeah, oh. At least 500. Yeah, 500
two,
yards away.
Two doe row, and then there was the buck.
And there was and I had seen the row doe, and I wanted and Andy the guide was in the middle of his sentence, and I said, because I wanted him to know I saw a doe, because very often you see a doe, there's a buck that's going to follow, and that's your target species, right?
And he was talking to me like pointing out where they. You know, all these animals are and everything. And Joel makes that sound and he turns to you, Joel. And it was like, you just scared the buck away. And he did not.
I thought he said the buck about 3 minutes after I was trying to get his attention for the doe, the buck came out of the woods and just trotted out and kept trotting and left. And he, what did he say, Mary Jane?
Oh, no, she's laughing.
She's laughing.
She was not happy with you.
No. I want to say I did not scare that buck
away. Did not, but he did. He thought you, like, he was like, you just scared him. And I,
just by pointing that out.
Mary Jane, say what he continued to say throughout the evening and for the remainder of the trip.
Like last 2 hours, he's always like, Joel, you wrecked that hunt.
He did? He kept bringing it up?
So horrible. I said, first of all, I did not. 3 minutes later, this buck trotted out and kept trying. What I'm trying to explain here, when you have six people and two of them have had a shot, and at this point, no one had killed a deer yet, and he was getting very frustrated.
Oh, no.
And he turned and he said, you just scared it off. Like 3 minutes later. I said, I you were in the middle of a sentence when I tried to point it out to you.
Yeah.
And then Andy went on to tell every other group he took out in the
and
field.
The other guides.
And the other guides that I ruined Mary Jane's chance to get a buck.
And the buck was so far away, wasn't even close to even shoot at. And then he went to the other side of the field to like go find the buck again, and we couldn't find the buck.
And the rest of the hunt, the rest of the 3 days we were there, he said every time he saw a buck, he'd say, Mary Jane, that's your buck that Joel scared away.
Yeah, he did. He saw, I think, two more that night, miles away.
Two different years. That's your buck that Joel scared away.
And I just smiled because I'm like, I'm not going to say anything mean to him, but I go, well, I also know it was not Joel's fault at all. Like, that buck was so far away.
And this was the first day?
First night, yeah.
Yeah, first night.
And I have to say, I live by a theory in life that every once in a while you apologize, even when you know you're not wrong. Just apologize.
Isn't that what
get through
the husband thing?
And
to
I
do?
Think... that's good. That's probably
that
good advice.
All the time?
So I said, well, I'm really sorry, but I'm really sorry. Well, he accepted my apology and then continued to tell everyone I ruined the hunt. So that didn't work.
It didn't
well.
Matter either way.
But that there, the and then I had a little different episode where I twisted my knee to the side trying to scale a sheer mountain.
Oh no!
Yeah. Oh my gosh! We were.
How'd
we
that happen?
I was kneeling on a rock to get up. One of our guides, Hannah, I think she was she was able to scale these highland cliffs.
Yeah.
I mean, quick as a fiddle.
It was clear she did it daily.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, she did it very well.
And I was trying to keep up. I put my knee down on a rock and lost my balance on the moss of the rock, and my knee slipped and twisted.
Ouch.
Fortunately,
no, thank you.
The chemist there had a knee brace, and that did help out quite a bit. But that hunting in Scotland was hard, and it was tough. And so Steve and Megan were able to harvest a roebuck.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So
yeah, and I'll tell you, so like I've hunted a lot of big game too, not as much as Joel, obviously, but I want to say Scotland was definitely one of the hardest hunts I have ever been on.
No doubt.
And you know, they don't use camo there. So that's completely different. So you're not concealed that way, but you really have to play the wind. And that's how I ended up on a really long hike.
A really long hike?
Yeah, well.
Oh my gosh, wait till you hear this story.
So we get there and everybody else had been driving around. They look for the deer. They see the deer. They get out of the truck. So I thought I was going to be getting off easy here. And he's like, oh no, we have to go over here. But we have to go this way around the mountain because of the wind. We can't just go in the valley. So I was like, okay.
That makes sense.
We get up the hill, and all of a sudden, we're at the top of this cliff. We go down. We are now on the shoreline, which is all rocks covered in seaweed and like shellfish. So every step I take, and by the way, anytime they say something some distance, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 miles, just double it because that's what's happening.
At least.
Everything they said for distance or time, you had to double it, and then it became close to true.
So he says, 200 meters on the shoreline, we're fine. And I'm like, okay. 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'm going to die. But I can't go back because now I'm stuck. We get to the end. Now we had to scale up a cliff, straight up. I'm like, great. Fortunately, we come across some ruins. As soon as we crossed that, we saw a red doe. What are they? Hinds.
Huh?
Hind, yep. and a calf. And we decided not to push them, which luckily we didn't, because when we went around the other way across the valley, then we saw the buck and a roebuck and another deer. So I got that at 170 meters.
Oh, wow.
And the cool thing is they hunt with dogs with their deer, or deer with their dogs.
Chanel, you'd love it.
You would love it. And so that means you probably took a 300-yard shot if we're doubling the time and space.
You're just that good. You're that good.
And these things are not easy, and I want to say congrats to Steve and Megan because you made fantastic shots.
Yeah, good for you guys.
The cool thing about this group is we all celebrated their
kills.
That's
how it should be, though.
You know, and it was fantastic. Steve, you're itching to say something. I know it. No. You felt.
Tell us about your hunt, Steve.
Yeah, I want to know about your hunt. How was yours?
You had to feel pretty good about the shot that you took.
Yeah, mine wasn't as dramatic. We didn't have to scale quite as much. We did a lot of driving, a lot of scoping. And ironically, as you guys were passing to go to town to get that knee brace, we're waving you by, telling you to keep going because we saw a buck in the morning get out. And before we even got within probably 50 yards of it, we jumped it and it took off. So we came back around and there's probably only about a half an hour left of light. And something else about there is it stays light almost like 20 hours a day. So we're hunting.
Yeah. Crazy. Like 10 o'clock at night, we were out hunting.
Yeah.
What?
Insane.
You were?
Yes, 4:15 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
it was nuts. Awesome.
And it's
sounds
light,
like a pretty
light.
Good nap in
it's
between.
Yeah. Light at 4 a.m.
Yes.
It is light out at 4 a.m. That was fantastic. So basically what you're trying to say, Steve, is I ruined two hunts.
Yes. I know. I didn't want to.
Oh, yeah. We.
I didn't want to pile on.
You got a
bad. I didn't want
to
pile on with a bad knee, but.
We pull up to them. We're going to ask them if they want anything from in town, and he just waves us on, and we look at each other like, God, what a bunch of jerks.
Little did we know I ruined another hunt. Oh my gosh. So that was tough. And then we get to Ireland and we fly to Ireland and we land there. And James, who is literally the embodiment of a leprechaun, like he is. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a striking fit young man. Okay. Very handsome young man, but he looked like he was literally, I was looking for the rainbow in the pot of gold when we met him. He gets,
that's
nice
hilarious.
To meet you. And he had the thickest Irish accent. It was perfect. He was fantastic. James Fallon. If you go to Ireland, you have to hunt with James, not Jimmy Fallon. His name was James Fallon. Come on, I've got your car right over here. And he was perfect because he drove.
Yeah.
How many curbs were hit then?
None.
He didn't hit a single curb. He still scared the crap out of me with his driving, but I would have still rather been a passenger. I mean, gosh, that was a fantastic time. And I cannot wait to talk about how that hunt went. And we're going to do a quick cooking segment, too. And that's why this show is flying as fast as it is. We love having you along on Raised in Wisco. And this is the Raised in Wisco Scotland and Ireland edition. Chef Lawton is coming up with a recipe. We're going to finish out those hunts in Ireland, which were incredibly successful. We went 6 for 6, if you can believe it. And massive alligator slayer Jessica Thielen got away with the massive goat as well.
Oh, shocking.
Irish.
Yeah, right? Big surprise there.
Yeah, big surprise.
It was really something, I tell you. She must have been shooting about 300 yards. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
So, I was taking my side hustle full-time.
Bold move, my friend.
And I needed to find everything in one stop.
Like finding Bigfoot riding a unicorn.
Yes, so I hit the Staples Easy button. Staples had everything for a new office and print services for signs and brochures. Plus, Cindy, the Staples associate, helped me find the best tech for me.
Wait, no drama?
No, Staples made it easy.
For the products, services, and experts your business needs, Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend. And then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Raised in Wisco, Scotland, Scotland, and Ireland editions.
Wow, God, that was in there.
My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to host this menagerie. Danielle Fairman tries to keep the boat on course.
I'm
not sure you do,
I feel like I don't.
I feel like we all go.
Let's go that way.
I feel like we all go to a wide array of places here.
Yes.
Classically trained French chef, official
chef. She's just
chef
in the kitchen.
of Raised in Wisco.
I'm just hanging out by the
Chef
food.
Chef Ellie Lawton, Megan Salazar, Mary Jane Baim, Jessica Thielen, Steve Strait. We are in the fishbowl, and we got back within the last 24 hours from Scotland and Ireland, and we've been sharing some of the stories, and we're going to talk about Ireland. We land in Ireland. James picks us up. What a fantastic guy he was. Fantastic guy, fantastic guide. First thing we do, literally go to a hunting clothing store. We all buy matchy-matchy clothes.
Please tell me it is matchy-matchy, though.
It's
if everybody listening, if you go onto Facebook Live, you can see that Joel and Ellie are wearing the same shirt.
Yeah, yes. We're matchers.
We got Ireland shirts. we all had such an amazing experience. We get to Ireland. The first thing we do is literally get on a boat and go from the island of Ireland, the Emerald Isle, to an island off the coast of Ireland that's got these, what they call Irish ibex, which, to be honest with you, are feral goats that have lived in the highlands of Ireland and in the mountains areas in Ireland, and they were on an island. Now, it was a big island. It wasn't like...
Yeah, it was big.
We hiked more than 6 miles on that hunt, but we all got chances to shoot, and I don't think there were any misses on that. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
There was... Steve missed.
Steve,
the crack shot on the road.
Steve
here ended up missing your first shot, but then you pulled off your second one perfectly.
First time shooting on sticks, rocked the wrong way, sent it into the wall.
yeah, but to be fair, I have to say, I think Steve had the furthest shot on his goat
out of everybody. No doubt.
And the first shot, the goats were really clumped up. So you did shoot right over its back.
That did make it very tricky, though, because we wanted to harvest mature goats. And that was a fantastic hunt for me because we all got to hunt together. Everybody,
that's really nice.
Yeah, it was literally a group hunt.
A group hunt of all six
of us. So did everybody shoot at the same time?
No,
or was
individually? We individually hunted these things all over the island and ended up getting shots, having fantastic shot placement, ethical kills.
Everybody was celebrating right then and there together. That's
together.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Beautiful goats. And we're all going to do shoulder mounts and get them on the wall. And I couldn't be more excited about that. And the food, we cooked one of the goats.
We cooked Frankie.
Who's Frank?
I do think it's weird that we named the one we ate, but
yeah. So Frank is the sheep.
Wasn't it James, our guide, who named it?
I think.
Or it was Jessica names all of her harvests.
You know why there's nothing wrong with that? It really gives you an appreciation for the fact that you are taking a life for your own sustenance.
Yeah.
And we had a very reverent
attitude
about that.
And we give thanks for that animal.
And we were excited, and we made a fantastic recipe.
I'm going to turn this
over to Chef Lawton.
Whoa, we're going to do the recipe?
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So we get off the plane, we get on the boat, we get on the island, we harvest the goats. Yeah. Joel actually shot Frank, the goat that we prepared for dinner. So within 24 hours, we had gotten off the plane, did the boat, did the island, got the goat into a cooler overnight. The next day we go to James' house and he goes outside, grabs this goat, brings it in and plops it on his kitchen table. Like, this is totally normal. And we're all like, do you want to lay down some butcher paper? Like, is this going to work here? Nope. Him and Joel broke down the goat. We did a fantastic, super easy recipe. After James and Joel broke down the goat, we put it in the crock pot, filled it with water, a little olive oil, lemon juice, lime juice, some provider spices that we had with us, some salt and pepper, garlic cloves, carrots, potatoes, parsnips.
Oh, boy.
That was everything. And we measured with our hearts every step of the way. And that crock pot, Joel ended up having to take some liquid out of it because by the time we put the lid on it, it was overflowing. And we turned that puppy on low. We left and explored Ireland for about 5 hours,
yep.
six oh, hours.
That sounds perfect.
We went back for dinner and this goat was so good. We just literally pulled it out of the crock pot, set it on two plates, and we all just dove in. It was so wonderful. Frank was delicious. We were grateful for him. The vegetables were so fresh and wonderful. Everything in Ireland was very fresh, and it was very surprising. Yeah.
That's so nice.
We had, I mean, talk about island to the table, right?
Oh my gosh.
It was, it does not get fresher and healthier than that. That's for sure. We all loved it.
What was the additional meat that we had that James shared with us?
Oh, we ate some muntjac. That was harvested in England, which was also it's my favorite wild game. It's the most tender wild game as a steak. You can cut it with a fork. But this goat, I think so often we hear a word here in the United States and we're put off by it right off the bat. Like we've talked about eating raccoons and how delicious they can be. If you are averse to goat or you think it's goat, the word goat sounds goofy, right? I'm going to tell you something. This is one of the most delicious, tender meats I have ever eaten out of the crock pot. And there was not a gamey thing about it. Mm. Not a skunky livery taste whatsoever. It melt in your mouth. Delicious. It was a fantastic trip. I had it was a joy going there with you, Steve, Jessica, Mary Jane, Megan, Ellie. I had a fantastic time with you there. Thank you so much for going across the pond. Thanks for making this edition of Raised in Wisco so great. Danielle Fairman, thanks for hosting this. You're going to have to go with us next year.
Thanks for holding it down in Wisco while gone.
Yeah, we appreciate that very much. And we appreciate you joining us on Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations. Saturdays at 11. If you miss us, listen to the podcast. I promise you'll laugh and you might even learn something. I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More cross-examinations ahead Monday for the former personal assistant to Sean Diddy Combs at his federal sex trafficking trial. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
She described being made to work 24 hours a day for 8 years, sleepless nights, being made to do everything from cracking his knuckles to writing his next movie.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball star Zion Williamson denying lawsuit allegations of sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse during a years-long relationship with a woman. ABC News, Melissa Adan in Los Angeles.
Because this is a civil complaint, no criminal charges have been filed. The plaintiff is seeking monetary and punitive damages, and a Pelican spokesperson deferred comment to Williamson's legal team.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reassured allies in the Indo-Pacific today they will not be left alone to face increasing military pressure from China. This is ABC News. It's a time of